In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Jonah. The word of the Lord came upon Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up and go to Nineveh, a great city, and proclaim to it a message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going on a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people in Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about their calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord. We will read the Psalms responsibly. Please read the bold print. For God alone, I wait in silence. Truly, my hope is in God. And God is my deliverance and my honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge. Those of high degree are but in a fleeting breath. Those of low estate cannot be trusted. Placed on the scales together, they weigh even less than a breath. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. The power belongs to God. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we find ourselves often trapped in the hustle and bustle of life, we might not think that in the grand scheme of things, any of us is anything special. We may also wonder if we could truly have a meaningful impact in our world. A world that seems to always be stacked against us. We might feel powerless and hopeless. What can we do to make a difference? And at the very least, we might try to make the most of the daily grind that we find ourselves in. One could only imagine what these fishermen would have been at the bottom rung of the society of their day, Simon, Andrew, the sons of Zebedee, what they would have thought when they were called by Jesus to follow him. How could they, of all people, make a difference? How could they, of all people, deal with the many injustices inflicted on them by the Romans and Herod? And why would Jesus think that these fishermen of all people could make a difference going against such forces in the world? How are they going to take on these injustices? Now, the beginning of our gospel lesson today mentions kind of in passing the arrest of John the Baptist. I don't think it would have been lost on people hearing Mark's gospel for the first time and hearing that John the Baptist was arrested, that following the way of God in this world can come at a cost. Because we know what happened to John the Baptist in the end, right? Or what happened to St. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, or a modern saint that we just celebrated in church and society, Martin Luther King Jr. When answering the invitation and call to discipleship can certainly come at a cost that might include one's life. But the way of Jesus leads us to the cross. And when Jesus invites us to follow him, that's exactly where we're headed. And it's at the cross that we are reminded constantly that the world will not prevail and that death no longer has dominion on us. So we are truly free to follow when Jesus calls us to discipleship. And the way of Jesus then is going to challenge the status quo. It speaks truth to power. It ushers in a kingdom that's not of this world. And when we repent, we turn to Jesus, and our backs then are turned to the world. When we say yes to Jesus, we're going to say no to many things in the world. And as a result, the world might see us as a threat and an enemy as a result. That might be one of the things that might cause us to hesitate in accepting and responding to such an invitation. Others might think that they just don't have the gifts to fish for people, to take on that task. Others might just be consumed with so much in the world. I've got a good thing going here, right? I'm too busy. I'm too distracted. I have so much. I'm not ready. I don't want to fully follow this. But as theologian Karl Barth noted, the disciples are elected to discipleship simply through the fact that Jesus claims them. When Jesus declares that now they shall be fishers of people, their new status is anchored in the fact that Jesus has fished for them. Jesus is the ultimate fisher, and they are the netted fish. And in the obedient response of these two sets of brothers, they see God's presence, his love, his mercy, actually realized in the world. They're experiencing it. I suppose the image of fishing for people could be demeaning to those seen as needing to be caught. Our tactics in churches might also be insulting, not just to people we're trying to reach, but also to the kingdom and the gospel itself. How many churches seek to lure people in, offer a bait and switch, essentially tricking people into coming to church? Aren't we simply to love as God loves us? Don't we love because God first loves us? As we hear in 1 John chapter 4:19. The kingdom of God that Jesus proclaims is not contingent upon us building large buildings or institutions or great cities. God's kingdom exists when we receive God's rule in our hearts through repentance in faith, turning to Jesus and trusting Jesus. For repentance is a reorientation of our lives to the way of Jesus. Again, that's a threat to the empire. And it's a resistance that is seen throughout Jesus' mission and ministry throughout Mark's gospel. It is a resistance that would eventually get him crucified. And I keep reminding you lately that his identity is recognized on the cross in Mark 15:39 by that centurion soldier. It is on the cross that we see truly this is God's Son. An important takeaway for us from our gospel lesson today is that this call is an invitation to a whole new way of life. Discipleship is a whole new way of life. It's not a task, it's a way of life. Jesus doesn't say, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of people." He says, "I will make you fish." It's a whole new way of life opposed to simply another task that each of us crosses off our calendars and our to-do lists. And it should call us as Lutheran Christians in particular we should feel convicted here a little bit, because it's very sad that for a tradition that is known for promoting the concept of the priesthood of all believers, how we've failed in affirming how people live out their priesthood through the various vocations God has called them to. It's not just pastors that answer a call.
and do the work in proclaiming and building the kingdom. The work of discipleship is for all of us. Even in the ordination rite in our denomination, it says, kind of as like a preface, because all of its baptized members share in Christ's ministry of love and service, the church equips and supports them for ministries in the world. Within this context of ministry, the church calls some of its baptized members for specific ministries. Within the people of God and for the sake of the gospel, ministry entrusted to all believers, God has instituted the office of ministry of word and sacrament. All the baptized share in Christ's ministry of love and service. Now, some are called to the ministry of word and sacrament. Others are called to the ministry of world service, word and service. But all of us are called to share the love of Jesus, to proclaim the good news, to build the kingdom in all the vocations that God has called you to carry out in the world. We fail in making people feel that they're only serving God also if they're doing it in a church-sponsored program or event. That's a failure for us as an institution and a ministry. Because Jesus' call to discipleship is a calling to use all your gifts in your household, at work, at school, and play, in all facets of your life, that people would know the love of God through you. Earlier this week, I was having a conversation with Daniel Bradshaw about this very thing, about the priesthood of all believers and our vocations and how we live this out. He shared with me this story that in 1962, President John F. Kennedy visited NASA for the first time. And during his tour of the facility, he met a janitor who was carrying a broom down the hallway. The president casually asked the janitor what he did for NASA. And the janitor replied, "I'm helping put a man on the moon." Right? That's the priesthood of all believers. That's the body of Christ with many different members sharing different gifts. That's us all hearing this invitation and accepting the call, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." It can sound intimidating. There might be some of you thinking that you've never done that, that you never could do that. But all of you have, and all of you will continue to do it. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to reveal to you ways in which you can see how God is calling you to do that in the world. There's also no work or gift that you share in the life of the church or in the world that is too small. In the church, we need people to hand out bulletins, to sing hymns, to read lessons, to serve in leadership positions, to help with our community meal, to make quilts, to attend a funeral, to take part in the funeral meal. I can go on and on. But those things in the life of the church is a way in which we follow Jesus' invitation and call to fish for people, that all would know that they could be caught up in God's net of grace. But I want to stress that what we do collectively as church is not the only way we're to answer the call to be disciples of Jesus Christ. As I said, it's also at work, at school, in our play, in our relationships, and all those vocations we're called to. When we console our neighbor and show love to a stranger, when we do that apart from officially church-sanctioned programming, you're doing this in answering that call and invitation to follow Jesus, to fish for people that transforms all our lives when we proclaim the kingdom that is here and that is to come. Beloved children of God, let us not fear the risk of discipleship, for not even death has dominion over us. Let us not feel defeated that the world is stacked against our efforts, for the love and light we know will prevail, because our efforts point to the victory that we have on the cross. And it is our way forward, because we know we continue to move forward in God's eternal love. Let us not think that we're ever ill-equipped or not worthy of being a disciple who fishes for people, because Jesus called these fishermen at the bottom rung of society, showing us that anybody is welcomed and qualified to carry on this task. For Christ is always with you. God has equipped you to embark in such a mission in which our lives have been transformed by Jesus, because we've experienced grace, mercy, and love. And our lives and our mission and our prayer is that others would be caught up and claimed by this love, by this same grace. That people living and wandering and lost in a dark and broken world would be caught up in God's firm, loving, eternal embrace. So, beloved children of God, let us follow Jesus to the cross and receive and share this love that has no end. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all creation. God, our rock and deliverance, do not let your church be shaken. We trust you never abandon your promises to the most vulnerable among us. Give your church wisdom and empathy on its buried ministry. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all their holy people of God, God of grace, God, our hope and refuge, you place fish in the sea, guide our care of oceans and all creatures that live in them. Hold us accountable for actions that endanger water sources and the people that depend on them, God of grace.
God, who proclaims judgment and offers mercy, be a model to those leaders of our nation and the world. As they lead, may they follow in your way of justice and truth. God of grace. God, who cares for suffering, care for survivors of assault and sexual abuse, and sustain all who minister to them. Keep safe any who live under the threat of violence, those living in poverty, and any among us who are ill or in pain, especially Charlie, Justy, Justin, Susan, Susie, Scott, Connie, Donna, John, Robert, Joellen, Dan, Pat, Dixon, Brent, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, the family of Bob Lerner, Chip, Theodore, and his family, Cheryl, Owen, Bill, Jessica, Wesley, Wyatt, Jim, Caitlin, JP, Ellie, and our homebound. God of grace. God of resurrection and new life, as the first disciples shared the good news, empower us and this faith community to be open to your call. When we are uncertain of your call, assure us. When we have strayed from your ways, redirect us. God of grace. God, who holds the saints against your tender bosom, we trust you welcome them into your care. Comfort those who grieve, even as we place hope in your salvation. God of grace.
Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory, through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so of all the choirs of angels, of the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom, and let the church say amen. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be kneeling around the altar. Ushers will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. We offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. I also invite at this time those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those who are going to participate in Children's Church. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. invite the choir to come up. Please rise. I'll do the blessing and then we'll do the choir anthem. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven in us to be his body in the world, that more and more we will give your praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Announcements for the good of the community. Steve?
Yeah, just a quick reminder that the offering statements for the year are available in the narthex as you on the right-hand side as you're going out there in a box on the table there. So,
Travis?
And real quick for the confirmation age kids and their guardians, we'll have a quick like 5-minute meeting, I don't know, right around here somewhere, to discuss the possible going to the Winter Jam concert next Saturday evening. So, with any questions on that. So, thanks.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.